Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get down to Florida, and joining us right now is Sweeney Murdy. Sween, how are you?
Good, Joe. How you doing?
Good.
Sweeney,
good.
I was looking at a weather map. Apparently, all of Florida is green, so it's raining very hard, and there's probably going to be no baseball. Is that a fair statement?
It's gray here, not green. So
I meant
cloudy.
The radar. You know, the radar.
Yeah.
Come on.
See, gotcha. Yeah. They took the tarp off. I think they'd leave it on if they thought more was coming. They're not quite set up for batting practice. I don't think they're going to. The Yankees are playing to hit in the cage. I don't know if Tampa's playing to hit, but we'll see. They haven't called anything yet, but you're right. The game in Sarasota was called off.
Yeah, four games have been called.
Called off. That's all on this side. There's two others, I think, on the other side.
Yeah, the Mets and the Marlins and Jupiter called off, and the Phillies and Astros and West Palm called off. So all parts of Florida getting affected by this, but it looks like you guys may be able to get it in, which is nice.
We will see what happens.
Mike Trout signed an extension. This has been the spring of extensions and guys getting paid big money. But then on the other side, here's Gio Gonzalez, who makes 30 starts every single season. He is a model of consistency. And he's got to settle on a minor league contract. It's a boon for Cashman. It's a steal for the Yankees. But how about Gio Gonzalez only getting a minor league deal?
Yeah, I think that's what really the all the waiting around was for. I think the Yankees had interest, but at their price, and it wasn't giving them a guaranteed deal for however many millions. It's a $3 million deal if he makes the Major League club. The Yankees basically get a free month to look at him with an opt-out that's April 20th. So he's going to report here either today or tomorrow, and they'll take a look at him and I guess probably get him a few bullpens and see how stretched out they can get him on their program as opposed to whatever he's been doing on his own. I know the reports that he was throwing 75 or 80 pitches on his own, but now they get to look at themselves. I would be shocked if he's like an opening day roster candidate at this point. I think they have to get him into their own program here and just stretch him out a little bit, and then maybe look at him as an emergency option based on whatever else they have happen to them at this point, and see how far off Sabathia and Severino are once they start ramping things up. So for now, it's like I said, it's a free month to look at him.
I'll tell you, one thing about Gio, we talked about it. He's a good pitcher. He makes his starts. He makes probably 30, just about 30 starts every year. Left-hand pitcher, which is something that's good at Yankee Stadium. I could see him hanging around, Sween. I really can. I mean, he's a quality guy.
Yeah, we'll see. I think what they looked at basically is they didn't necessarily think they needed 30 more starts,
No, I understand.
They felt out the rotation. They felt that now they have some injury issues. They need to fill a few starts, but they don't need a guy to make 30, which is why they didn't go out and just sign him to begin with. So I guess we'll see what their needs are as they rise here in April, depending on what they feel like they have internally, which is they settle along. There's going to be more guys here, too, and I'm trying to figure out, how they're going to look. They never closed the door on signing other guys. They were just, looking at, again, what their terms were and maybe what else becomes available. I think you're going to have some guys who are on minor league contracts that had outs at the end of spring training. So we're going to see how those guys shake out and if there's any interest in there. There's going to be a lot of movement in the next week of guys who shake loose from other camps in spring training, not just pitchers, other positions. It'll be interesting to see where guys fall, and if the Yankees have any interest in any of those people.
Right now, Sween, with CeCe on the DL, with Severino going on the DL, that's right. I'm calling it DL for now. I know eventually I'm going
to
give
up. Yeah, you're going to have to call it IL. Yep.
No, I'm not going to have to. I'm just going to give up at some point.
Sure you will, because it's not
what is
not
I, what is
the
it,
DL.
It
doesn't
inactive,
matter.
Inactive list? Is
injured,
that what it is?
Injured list.
Oh, injured list.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
You can't call it what it's not.
Of course you can. Why not?
Well, okay, then you can be wrong.
You're right. I'll be wrong.
Injured list.
I think here's the way I look at it, Sween. Okay. Whenever they do these.
I can call you Bill. That doesn't mean I'm right.
That's not. No, if I changed my name, then you could say, you know what, I'm calling you Evan for a year. But, like, let me ask you this, Sween, because I want to prove you wrong about something stupid like this. You don't still call Sky Dome Sky Dome?
No, call it Rogers Center.
Oh, all right. Damn it.
Really?
All right, I give up. Forget it. You're a stickler for rules. I like to break them. Right now, based on the way they've pitched in spring training, and we've talked about this, you take that with a grain of salt. Jonathan Loaisiga hasn't been great. Luis Cessa has. I give Cessa a lot of credit. Guy's been dominant. Mm-hmm. Domingo Herman has pitched well. Are those the two guys to fill out the rotation based on the way they've pitched here in spring training?
Yeah, I think so. I think, I mean, if you're taking any value out of what you see down here versus what you thought coming in, I think you have to look at it that way. And again, it's, you know, these guys are considered short-term fixes if they believe that Sabathia can be back sometime during the course of April, and you wait to see if Severino has no setbacks. You're talking about, you know, Brian Cashman threw out no earlier than May 1st. I think he was trying to throw some caution on that, just not try to have him rush back. But you're talking about a full spring training's worth, you know, 5-6 weeks worth, and that's where you get to the May 1st date. So, I think you're looking at those two guys, and you see what kind of how weather plays a part early. You know, the Yankees have 9 games in the Northeast to start the season, and then they go to Houston and come home again. So we'll see what kind of weather-related issues force them to kind of juggle and maybe not use a fifth guy as often.
Hicks, what about him?
Had that second cortisone shot and was going to start the season on the injured list. So I threw that in just for you. He's going to be eligible to come back as early as April 4th, but we'll see. They don't believe it's a long-term thing, but they didn't believe it was serious when it happened either.
Right,
so we just have to wait to see him kind of get back into the swing of things here and see, you know, how fast he can ramp up activity. They're not going to force feed him a lot of at bats to push him to be ready, since he's already looking. Since he's already going to start the season on the IL. So I'm just going to say it more and more often.
We'll call it the ill. That works, too.
Done that, Evan. You shouldn't have said that.
It works. It works well. Ill.
Ill. You know what?
So,
fair. It's a fair point.
So, you know, you're going to wait to see till he starts. I don't know if he can get into some more games here before this week is out. If he hasn't really started up into the batting practice thing, I would think not. I don't think we're going to see him even in minor league games here before we head north and you see what kind of activity level he can hit next week.
All right, so in the time being that he's out, and they should obviously take it easy with him, the most important thing is you want him back at full strength. You want him playing every day. When he comes back off the injured
the
list.
Just call it the ill.
The ill. You don't want him going back on the, whatever, disabled list.
Mm-hmm.
So to me... Giancarlo plays left field. Now, I heard Giancarlo on with Mike yesterday, and I was actually sort of surprised by this answer. Mike says to him, Giancarlo, do you like to play left field? Do you like the DH? And he kind of gave he doesn't really care. Like, I usually expect the young player, and he's still relatively young. You know, he's still in his 20s, to say, I want to play the field. I want to play the field. Maybe he's just being a good soldier by saying it doesn't matter, and maybe that's the best answer. But I guess I just sort of expect players to say they want to play the field. But I'd play him in left field. I'd play Brett Gardner in center field, mainly because I don't trust Tyler Wade to play every day in the outfield. And Clint Frazier has been a disaster. And that would allow me to have more time to see Bird and Voit both make this roster. Does the Hicks injury open up the opportunity for both Voit and Bird to be on the Major League roster on opening day?
Yeah, I think it does. And I don't think it's a long-term solution, though. I don't think they're going to jump through hoops all year to try to keep these guys on. I think it just simply delays the decision of who's going to be your first baseman. And I think that's exactly what it does for these guys. It allows them both to be on and the outfield aligns just the way you said. I think the weird thing about this situation that they've created when they eventually choose, and listen, Luke Voit, came in as the guy they said has the leg up based off of what he did. He's done nothing to lose the job. So let's just assume that Luke Voit is your regular first baseman to start. They've set up this situation that, you know, what are we going to do when, you know, if he goes, you know, 3-for-15? We're checking the box scores at AAA to see what Greg Bird is doing, you know, and they have to be very careful as to how they treat him. And, he has to be very careful to not let something like that bother him and be looking over his shoulder. It's going to be kind of natural for the rest of us to kind of look and see what everybody's doing based on a start that a guy has, hot or cold. But that's the kind of situation they've created now, where you've got two guys who played so very well in the course of spring. Bird and Voit couldn't have done any more than they've done already this spring. They did exactly what they had to do, and the Yankees are in a position where they have to make a decision, and I believe they will make a decision as soon as Aaron Hicks gets healthy.
The other big factor, or could have been bigger factor, is Clint Frazier, obviously. He had the injury last year. He dealt with the concussion, which I felt horrible for. He was hitting in AAA. It's not like he wasn't performing in the minors, but he hasn't hit so far in spring training. Is that going to keep him off the major league roster? I'm assuming it is, because he's hitting 150, 160. But would the Yankees, in your mind, ever look past his performance in spring training and say, you know what, he's healthy, he performed in AAA, Hicks is out, let's have Clint on the team? How do you see it playing out?
I think for opening day purposes, you know, they've kind of telegraphed this by saying that he needs to play more. He needs to play regularly. And that's not going to be the situation if he's on the big league roster at this stage. So I think they would like to see him get a little confidence going again, playing every day. He hit okay last year, but still was never really healthy. Even when he was a AAA, it was still bothering him, and to the point where it took until the off season to really start feeling good again. So I think he's one of these guys where you let him get into the routine of playing every day and feeling good about what he's doing.
I see Gregorius is actually swinging. He was swinging, I guess, with one hand. Now he's swinging with both hands, hitting off a tee. What does that mean, if anything?
It's just the progression. It doesn't. I mean, you're gonna hear about all the things that he's doing, and nothing that he's doing is going to change when he's due back. It's just if he stops doing something, that's a setback.
Sign. Right.
Yeah, but whatever he's doing, it's all part of the, you know, June, July, August, you know, that's what they have steadily held to. And even last week, Brian Cashman in this station was, you know, he was almost kind of poo-pooing the June part of that and, you know, leaning towards more all-star breakish or past. So nothing outside. Even if it's late July, he doesn't seem to be considering that as anything that is a setback. It's just waiting to see how he responds to everything and how they ramp things up. So it's all good news for Didi, who seems to be happy with how he's progressing, throwing, swinging the bat, everything else. So we'll see how it goes. But, yeah, it's not going to be anytime real soon, no matter what you see him doing.
We're talking to Sweeney Marty about the Yankees. The Yankees are still scheduled to play an exhibition game today, spring training game today against the Tampa Bay Rays, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes.
You're a very composed guy. All right, you're not super emotional.
Thanks.
You're very. You can kind of keep people calm.
I'm taking that as a compliment.
It
I
is.
Hope you mean it that way.
Oh yeah. No, in this case, I'm actually giving you a compliment right now, and then I'm going to ask you a question and basically tell you that usually you're very calm. So if you tell me you're concerned, I would say, "Wow, Sweeney's concerned. That means something here." Dellin Betances' velocity. All right, it's down. He's saying, "Oh, I'll get it back by May or something like that." Mm-hmm. You've watched this kid in spring training for years. You've seen him, even as a starting pitcher years and years ago. So you've watched this guy. Where is your concern level, if there's any concern level, as far as Dellin's velocity right now?
Well, I get concerned by actions more than my own observations. And right now, Dellin Betances, he pitched on Sunday. He is not scheduled to pitch today. He is not scheduled to pitch tomorrow. Larry Rothschild hasn't scheduled him in. There is legit concern over Dellin Betances if he's not scheduled to pitch in a game right now. I don't know what the plan is yet, but they don't seem to have one laid out that we know as far as when he's throwing again. So, yeah, I think this is some legitimate concern to figure out how to get him some work in and get the velocity back up. You have 9 days to opening day, and, you know, even Dellin on Sunday was saying, yeah, I've got about 4 more games. Well, that's, you know, I think that counted today, and that's not happening. I don't know yet as far as if they have or will take him for some tests. He is here today, but it's enough of a concern that they're not just continuing to throw him out there and letting the velocity come back. They're trying to figure out what to do with him right now. So, I mean, I would even at this point, if they're not going to throw him right now and you're 9 days away from opening day, until they tell me otherwise, I would think that there's legit concern for him being ready for that.
Do you like the new rule where the only one trade deadline?
Yeah, I love it. I mean, from a selfish standpoint, I mean,
yeah, it's less aggravation for you. I understand.
I don't have to spend the whole month of August
right.
Wondering,
speculating
who they're
trade
on for
a
now.
Trade.
Do you think it's because it's funny? I've been thinking back the last few years. There have been a lot of significant August trades. Gio Gonzalez, mm-hmm. who just signed with the Yankees.
Yeah.
I'm not saying it was the most significant trade, but that was an August trade. Justin mm-hmm. Verlander going to Houston was an August trade. Do you think that it's going to cause more trades to happen in July, or are we just going to see less overall because nothing's happening in August? You know what I mean?
I'll use last year as an example just from the Yankee perspective. Aaron Judge broke his wrist on July 26th, 27th, and the Yankees' initial diagnosis was a few weeks. They had a July 31st trading deadline, obviously, that they ignored. They waited for the August 31st deadline to get Andrew McCutchen when Judge still wasn't back. Even though at that point he was still obviously closer to coming back, they finally needed to make a move at that point. Would that be something that they would now, last year, what a big concern for them was that luxury tax threshold, and adding McCutchen's an extra month of McCutchen's salary was a consideration during that. But now what you're talking about, you don't have the ability to go get a player like that in August. That's what's really going to be interesting, because now any injury that happens after the All-Star break, you don't have time to play through that and wait to see if something shakes loose in the waiver period. You've got to really make a hard decision and decide whether or not it's worth it for you to pull players from your system to make a move, even if you expect a player back in, say, you know, August 10th or August 15th. You might have to go and protect yourself in that event.
Hmm. How about the, we won't see it this year, but the three batter minimum rule that's going to be the year after?
Yeah, I don't love it. I don't like the idea of legislating strategy. Like just like the idea of the shift, you know, like the defense has a job too. The defense has figured out how to do their job, and now you're saying, yeah, you're doing it too good. We're gonna make it harder for you. And I think we're still a little bit of ways away from that. The Players Association doesn't seem to like that rule, and it sounds like that's something they're going to be talking about as part of their negotiations.
Mm.
This makes me happy, Sweeney, you know, because my knee-jerk reaction is to assume that all of these new rules that are rumored or are actually going to happen, that you're just going to have the wrong opinion. That's just my natural
Really?
Yeah.
Listen, just because you and I disagree on DH doesn't mean we disagree on everything.
Oh, no, and that makes me happy. I'm very
– hilarious.
I want to give you – I want to give you a hug.
I mean, how many years have we been talking? This is really a surprise to you that sometimes we agree?
Yeah, it seems more times than not we don't agree. And what I was going to throw in, and you know what? Blanket, I'll just throw it in. You don't like strategy being legislated. Isn't the DH kind of legislating strategy?
There's still some strategy to the three batter minimum, though.
It's a different strategy.
It's a different strategy to it, but there's still a strategy.
Yeah, how to fake an injury. That's a strategy. Well,
no, because to me, the DH is the idea of just saying, you know, pitchers can't hit.
Right.
And that's it.
And we don't need a strategy.
I don't care about the strategy element of that. I'm just saying it's not fun watching pitchers hit.
No, but there is a strategy element as far as do I pinch hit?
That's ancillary, This is specific. Yeah, I think it's apples and oranges, but yeah, I hear what you're saying.
But Joe is – see, I don't like the idea of the three-batter minimum. In fact, I hate it. Now, I'm open to the fact that maybe I'll watch it and like it. I am open to that. That, you know, maybe in 2022, I'm going to say, boy, you know, this three batter minimum is pretty cool. But I do agree with Joe that there is strategy.
It's still
just
strategy.
A different
it's
strategy
different,
now.
Oh, listen, you can still have a guy who only faces one batter. You know, if there's two outs in the inning, you have a lefty.
Yeah, but he better get the guy out.
Yeah, exactly. So that's part of your strategy. Or the other part is if you have the lefty leading off the inning, you know, do you want to bring that guy in and say, okay, I need you to go get this guy and face the next two. You know, the part that I hear people say, and I thought about this initially too, what if a guy just doesn't have it and he gives up two home runs or he walks two guys in a row on eight pitches, you know, and you can't take him? How often do you see a guy just get taken out for that reason? I mean, people say, oh, we've seen Dellin Betances walk guy. Yeah, but have you seen him come out after two batters? I haven't.
Hmm.
He walks two batters. He's still in there to face the third. So that part of, oh, what if this guy gets this and doesn't have it? I don't see that happen all that often anyway. I'm more concerned about how it's going to work with some of the guys that I've grown to like over the years are lefty specialists, you know.
Right.
Randy Choate, Mike Myers both came through the Yankees and I got to know both of those guys very well. I hate to see their role taken away completely. I would like to think that, you know, that there's the idea of being here's Evan. This is what I want to throw at you, okay? If a left-hander comes into a game, the manager is not allowed to pull back the left-handed batter if he's been announced. I think that should be part of it. You should be allowed to protect that first batter matchup. If let's say you've got, for some reason, you've got two lefties in a row in your lineup and a left-handed reliever comes in, if the manager wants to pinch hit for that second guy, great. But if the first left-hander has been announced and the guy comes in from the bullpen, that left-on-left matchup should have to happen.
I get your – you know what concerns me the most? And I brought this up to Chernoff off air, and he kind of poo-pooed it, said, this isn't going to be a problem. And tell me if you think there's going to be a problem. I think managers are going to fake injuries all the time. I really do. Because right now there's no benefit to faking an injury other than getting a cheap mound visit, you know, something minor
like that.
Right. Right now there is a rule in baseball. You have to face a batter. You can't bring a pitcher in and then take the pitcher out immediately. Though I forget there was a manager 3 years ago who didn't
Well,
know
which
that
is one. Why, like, the manager of the offensive team is allowed to do that. He's allowed to take a hitter out.
Right.
Absolutely. That, I think, has to change.
No, I understand that point. That's actually pretty interesting. I'm going to think about that before I give you a knee-jerk reaction. But don't you think that managers are going to his arm hurts. How can you prove if a guy's legit? Unless you have a rule, if you take a guy out for injury, they can't pitch for five more days. Unless you create some kind of hard, fast rule like that. I would try it. I'll tell you right now, if I manage a team, you damn right I'd go out there and say, I think his pinky hurts. Get him out. How do you know he's not
hurt? Yeah. I think if you said pinky, no. I mean, tell the guy to shake his elbow a couple of times and, you know, make it look good, then, yeah, I could see somebody trying to get away with it, no doubt. I mean, what's the first thing you do when a rule gets put in place? You try to find ways around it.
Try to circumvent.
So, I got to tell you, I'm thinking about that idea you had, and it's starting to. It's marinating in my brain. I kind of like it. It's different.
Yeah.
Well, you can't pinch hit for somebody when a new pitcher comes in.
Yeah. Yeah. I got to think about this more.
I don't know yet.
Because that's the give back. If you're telling me that, okay, you can't just take the pitcher out after one batter, then you have to give them that one batter.
Right. Right.
And you know what you're also doing? You're going to save managers from over-managing and wasting their entire bench in 5 minutes.
Correct. That is definitely true.
Correct.
By the way, your thoughts, I don't know if you're going to London or not, but what do you think about this Red Sox-Yankee-London nonsense?
I'm looking forward to it. I'm excited to go.
You are?
Yeah. I've been wanting to go. I wanted to go take my picture on Abbey Road like I saw everybody do when they covered the Olympics in London. I was watching. Everybody goes over there. I want to go see all that stuff, too. It's absolutely going to be fun. The weird part
about
Are you going to be walking with three
other guys like the Beatles on the cover of Abbey Road? Is that what you're going to do?
Maybe I'll say, a couple of random guys. Why not? Or I don't care. I don't care who else is in it with me. You guys want to go? Maybe you, me, and Ernie?
I'm not going to. I have
We'll be the Beatles on Abbey Road.
I have zilch.
The schedule quirk is, though, the Yankees and Red Sox will play each other in London before they play each other in Boston.
Yeah.
Is that really true?
Yeah.
Now, who's losing the home games?
Boston.
Shouldn't they lose a home game? Wouldn't that be more?
Bigger gate in Boston. I mean, bigger gate at Yankee Stadium.
Yeah, I understand that, but still.
Well, I think they kind of do, because I don't think – I got to check the numbers again, but it's going to be 9-8 as opposed to 10-9. So somebody's always going to get one more home game.
Yeah, that's the divisional matchups. There's always getting one more.
19 games. Yeah.
Right. So now it's just nine. I think it's 2 4-game series at Fenway, and there's a 2-game series in April at Yankee Stadium,
and a 3 and a 4.
Yeah.
I think that's what it is. It's 9 games at Yankee Stadium, 8 games at Fenway, 2 in London.
Yeah. Yes. I don't know if they took both of those away from Boston, but, you know.
I think they
did. What'd you say, Joe?
Tally-ho. Doesn't it bother you that because I hate this with football, too. I mean, you know, I can't stand the London nonsense. You know, and someday, it's our game, and we're going to play Super Bowl in London someday? Really? Come on. So this kind of stuff bothers me.
I'm excited, all over this, man. Yeah.
So you like going to...
When am I going to get to go to London
again? Yeah, but you're talking selfishly.
Well, you're talking about yourself. You and your wife one day might go to London. What the hell do I know? I don't know. You might go.
Not going to summer anytime soon.
You like going to London better than going to Japan, right?
I liked going to Japan.
Did you?
Again, I got 4 days in Japan on company dime.
I understand.
Come on, man.
Boy, I tell you, for me to go to Japan, they better have some kind of drug to keep me out till I get there.
I had a wonderful time in Tokyo because we would go touring around the city before we had to go to the ballpark, and then we'd go out at night after. It was. I remember waking up to go. I woke up to go on Mike and the Mad Dog. Because of the time difference.
Right, right.
I think I went on with, who would have been on? Was it was either you and Jody or Jody and Sid. I was on with them at
April
night
of before, 2004. You know, so who was doing middays in April of 2004?
I wasn't there yet. I was still in the overnight.
So I would go on the midday show right at 10 a.m.
Right, right.
And then I would go on Mike and Chris right at 6 o'clock because of the way the schedule worked. Right. And I would sleep in between.
Right, right.
A little bit.
It does kind of suck, though, Sweeney, that the London start times are kind of cool. The 10 a.m. first pitch East Coast time is pretty cool. Mm-hmm. And then there's a normal 1 o'clock game. The Mariners and A's are playing 2:30 a.m. for the local team time.
Right, West Coast time.
I mean, how fair is that to them? Mm-hmm. If you're a diehard A's fan, what are you doing? Getting up early or going to sleep late? I don't even know.
Yeah. Yeah, at least on the East Coast, it was 5:30.
Right, you can wake up with it at least.
Swing that.
Yeah,
that's a little. I guess you just have to stay up, you know.
No, it sucks because opening day is a holiday.
No, you have to go to sleep and then get up for the game. That's what you would do. I mean, you're smarter to sleep a little bit than get up like 2 o'clock for the game.
Yeah, I don't know. It's a tough one. I
you know what I mean, Sweeney?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I get it. I mean, I hadn't thought about the plight of the Seattle Mariners fan all that much.
Of course not, but I'm thinking about them. Because I think about what it was like for us as Met fans and Yankee fans.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And the Mets did it in 2000, the Yankees did it in 2004. Yep. Right. And
I'm worried about Jay Bruce.
Sweeney.
Oh, the pain.
Look at that. This may have been a record. I think we had you on for 33 minutes.
How about that,
Sweeney? Hopefully we keep it from
goodness.
Much.
Well, post it so everybody can get the full effect of it.
Oh, you got it, man.
There you go.
Thank you, Sweeney. Right.
See you, Sweeney.
See you, guys.
Sweeney Murdy on the Yankees, on baseball rules, on England, on Japan.
A little bit of everything.
A little bit of everything.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.